part of a joint training program with the Indonesian Maritime Security Agency, Bakamla. The joint training program will take place on Friday, according to Vice Admiral Kanosue Hiroaki. This marks the first time the Setsu has visited Jakarta's port. During the welcoming ceremony, Kanosue Hiroaki expressed his hopes for closer ties between Japan and Indonesia through the joint training program. I hope that today's welcoming ceremony and the upcoming training sessions will help strengthen the bond between Indonesia and Japan, making our relationship even closer. At the same event, Rear Admiral Dr. Samuel Koas, Secretary General of Bakamla, shared some exciting news. He announced that Japan is donating an 80-meter patrol ship to Bakamla. The ship, expected to be ready in 2 years, will be used for offshore patrols and to enhance Indonesia's maritime security. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Sugiono emphasized that Indonesia continues to encourage dialogue to reach a solution in a bid to resolve the political crisis in Myanmar, which has caused a humanitarian crisis in the country. This was conveyed by Minister Sugiono in a diplomacy meeting related to Myanmar at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Cluster, Switzerland, Wednesday, local time. As stated in a written statement by the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta, Minister Sugiono expressed concern that the continuing internal conflict in Myanmar since the 2021 military coup has created threats in other sectors that have an impact on the region. The Indonesian Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries KKP is in synergy with the Ministry of Protection of Indonesian Migrant Workers to strengthen the protection of Indonesian migrant fisheries crew from acts of exploitation, violence, and fraud. Secretary General of the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Rudy Herianto Adinugroho, in a statement in Jakarta Wednesday, appreciated the commitment of two institutions that have collaborated and synergized in the governance of recruitment and placement of migrant fisheries crew so that migrant workers in the marine and fisheries sector can be better protected. The Indonesian government has agreed to cooperate with ExxonMobil Chemical International Major Growth Ventures to develop the petrochemical sector and carbon capture and storage technology. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto in Jakarta on Thursday conveyed that the MOU marks a joint commitment to support a sustainable economic development in Indonesia, which is expected to open up great opportunities for the development of the petrochemical sector in Indonesia. Child Protection's Coordinator of the National Development Planning Agency, Bappenas, Yosidiani Tresna, suggested that the Indonesian government can adopt the regulation of other countries related to restrictions on children using social media. According to him, the level of maturity of children's age is almost the same in every country, especially for ASEAN countries. He conveyed that sanctions in the form of fines also need to be applied in the regulation of this restriction, particularly sanctions against social media providers if they violate. The Indonesian National Army Zakat Agency Basnas is committed to rebuilding the Gaza Strip Palestine after the ceasefire between Palestinian fighters and the Israeli military recently. Deputy Chairperson of Basnas RA, Muhammad Mahdum, through a statement in Jakarta on Thursday, pointed out that he focused on the current situation in Palestine, and this can be proven by the formation of a task force built by the agency, whose collection of funds is separated. As of Thursday, the funds collected have reached almost 340 billion rupiah. He also pointed out that the large funds will be utilized for three main needs, namely emergency funds, rehabilitation, and reconstruction funds, in which funds channeled as emergency funds reach 120 billion rupiah. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian Embassy in Tokyo joined the All Together Festival ATF 2025 at the Tokyo International Exchange Center Plaza on Sunday. The event, organized by Japan's Immigration Service Agency, aimed to strengthen connections between Japanese people and foreign communities living in Japan. The festival was officially opened by Japan's Minister of Justice, Keisuke Suzuki. Muhammad Al-Aula from the Indonesian Embassy Social and Cultural Affairs team shared how the embassy used this event to introduce Indonesia to the Japanese people. He said that this was a great opportunity to showcase Indonesia's culture, travel destinations, and traditional food. At the Indonesian booth, visitors tasted Indonesian authentic dishes, enjoyed souvenirs, and admire beautiful batik products. Around 200 Japanese visitors stopped by with the booth, showing a lot of interest in what Indonesia has to offer. The festival featured 39 booths, including displays by Japanese government agencies, private companies, international organizations, and small businesses. Visitors could also explore food stalls and booths representing other countries such as South Korea and Czech Republic.
Let's begin today in history with the commemoration of Gorontalo Patriot Day. Gorontalo Patriot Day, celebrated every January 23rd, marks a historic moment in the struggle of the Gorontalo people to achieve independence. On January 23rd, 1942, Nani Wartabone proclaimed Gorontalo's independence. This proclamation was made 3 years earlier than Indonesia's independence proclamation in Jakarta in 1945 by Sukarno and Muhammad Hatta. For his significant role in achieving Gorontalo's independence, Nani Wartabone was recognized by the Indonesian government as a pioneer of independence. January 23rd is also known as Gorontalo Independence Day. Next, let's move to the Jisar earthquake in Tajikistan. The Jisar earthquake struck on January 23, 1989, near Jisar, Tajikistan, in the Soviet Central Asia region. The earthquake had a magnitude of 5.3, with maximum intensity felt as very strong on the Mercalli scale. The National Geophysical Data Center reported that hundreds of people lost their lives in this tragedy. Initial reports indicated that an entire village with clay houses has buried under a 17-meter high landslide triggered by the earthquake. All 600 residents of Sharora and two nearby villages were believed to have died. This earthquake was the deadliest in 1989. Finally, we end today in history with the selection of Madeleine Albright as the first female U.S. Secretary of State. Madeleine Albright served as U.S. Secretary of State from January 23, 1997 to January 20, 2001. She was an American diplomat, the 20th U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, and the 64th U.S. Secretary of State. During President Bill Clinton's administration, Albright became the first female Secretary of State and the highest-ranking woman in U.S. government history at the time. However, she faced sharp criticism for her strong support of sanctions against Iraq and her actions during the Balkan conflicts. Madeleine Albright passed away from cancer at the age of 84. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Aku ingin menjadi mimpi indah dalam tidurmu. Aku ingin menjadi sesuatu yang mungkin bisa kau rindu. Karena langkah merapu tanpa dirimu. Aku ingin menjadi sesuatu yang selalu bisa kau sentuh. Aku ingin kau tahu bahwa ku selalu memujamu. Tanpamu sepinya waktu merantai.
listeners. Next, we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia Today focuses on Indonesia officially launches international carbon trading. The Ministry of Environment ensures transparency. Indonesia officially started international carbon trading on Monday. Minister of Environment Hanif Faisal Nurofik said the launch carried out at the Indonesia Stock Exchange in Jakarta is part of an effort to achieve the national climate target stated in the Nationally Determined Contribution or NDC document. In addition to carbon trading, Indonesia also supports climate funding efforts with performance-based payments that have been carried out by several parties and are carried out based on technological developments. Minister Hanif Faisal also ensures that the government has also strengthened the national registry system as part of the launch of international carbon trading, in addition to preparing other infrastructure and instruments, including measurements, reporting and verification standards, and greenhouse gas emission reduction certificates. According to Minister Hanif, this strengthening is part of an effort to maintain transparency and integrity. Carbon trading will involve several potential strategic energy projects, such as the operation of the Gunung Wugul Mini Hydro Power Plant, which reduces 5,000 tons of carbon dioxide equivalent, the operation of the new natural gas power plant, the Priok Block 4 Gas and Stream Power Plant, which is estimated to be able to reduce emissions by up to 500,000 tons of carbon dioxide equivalent, the conversion of single cycle power plants to combined cycles at the Grati Block 2, the Priok Block 4 Gas and Stream Power Plant, which has the potential to reduce emissions by 494,000 tons of carbon dioxide equivalent, and Block 2 power units in Muara Tawar have the potential to reduce up to 30,000 tons of carbon dioxide equivalent. There is also the potential for emissions reduction from the construction of the new Priok Block 4 gas and steam power plant. From Block 3 of the Muara Karang Java Bali power plant, which is estimated to be able to reduce emissions by up to 750,000 tons. In addition to international carbon trading, Indonesia also launched domestic carbon trading in 2023 on the Indonesian Carbon Exchange. So far, the volume of carbon trading has reached 1,780,000 tons of carbon dioxide equivalent from the energy sector. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Masa demi masa, tak mudah untuk terlupa saat kau masih di sisi, hingga saat kau dengannya kadang ku menangis. Tetaplah diriku di sini, masih seperti yang dulu, ku temui kau kembali untuk bersamaku lagi. Aku pun mengerti satu yang tak bisa lepas.
Joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder.
If you are a fan of culinary tourism, Indonesia is truly a paradise. From breakfast to dinner and even snacks, you'll find a wide variety of delicious traditional dishes. For breakfast, there are various interesting delights. We have recommendation from Mojokerto, East Java. It calls bubur srontol or bubur sruntul, a porridge with a sweet taste. In a bowl of bubur srontol, you'll find small balls made from sticky rice flour and sago called srontol. A typical bowl of bubur srontol includes several other fruits, such as sweet rice flour pudding called bubur sumsum, pandan flavored rice flour jelly called dawet, and sago pearls. They are topped with coconut milk, and some people eat the porridge by adding ice cubes. With its variety of ingredients, bubur serondol tastes sweet and it also quite filling, making it perfect choice for breakfast before starting the day. In Mojokerto, you can easily find the dish in the morning, especially in traditional markets. It's affordable. A serving costs around 15,000 rupiah to 20,000 rupiah, or about 90 US cent to 1.2 US dollar.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services, English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you. Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Karena
Listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program we present to you, Miss Eleni.
Well, listeners, today's editions of Miss Eleni highlights Jakarta named one of the world's top 50 cities in 2025. Here is some exciting news for all of us. Jakarta has earned a spot on Time Out's list of the 50 best cities in the world to visit in 2025. This is a huge achievement for the capital city. Out of all the cities in ASEAN, only Jakarta, Chiang Mai in Thailand, and Singapore made it onto the list. Jakarta is ranked 29th, just behind Chiang Mai, but ahead of world-famous cities like Vienna in Austria and Tokyo, Japan. The top spot on the list went to Cape Town, South Africa, which was named the best city in the world for 2025. Listeners, Time Out describes Jakarta as not just an economic hub, but also a perfect gateway for exploring other destinations across Indonesia. The city is praised for its ability to balance the old and the new. From the beautiful Dutch colonial buildings in Kota Tua to the modern skyscrapers and high-end malls in the Sudirman Central Business District, Jakarta is a city of contrast that works perfectly. There is so much to do here. You can step back in time at the Jakarta History Museum, shop for antiques or enjoy a coffee in Blok M, or try some of the best street food in Glodok, Jakarta's Chinatown. When night falls, the city transforms into a vibrant playground with nightlife option for everyone. To create the list, Time Out surveyed over 18,500 residents from cities around the world and worked with 100 experts. They look at things travelers care about most, like food, nightlife, culture, affordability, and the overall feel of the city. Using all this feedback, they rank the top 50 cities in the world for 2025. Jakarta's inclusion on this list, it's a proud moment for all of us, showing the world what an incredible place our city is. That was Miss Eleni. Bye-bye.
Away.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today, we are going to give you one of our wonderful musicians, Bass Jam. Bass Jam is a music group formed in January 15, 1994. It consisted of Adon in vocal, Sigit in vocal, Aris in guitar, Adnil in guitar, Anya in keyboard, Sita in bass, and BS in drums. Bass Jam's debut immediately got a place in the Indonesian music industry through its first album entitled Bermimpi or Dreaming. This album was released in 1986 with the main song of the same title, Bermimpi. The song Bermimpi is about someone dreaming of a happy life until the end. Well, listener, here is Bass Jam with Bermimpi.
Sedang sendiri, ku coba renungi, ingin apa aku ini? Tak pernah mengerti sampai kini ku sadari, aku tetap tak peduli, hanya aku jalani hidup ini. Melamun sendiri, mau apa aku ini? Tak kupahami, semua orang pasti ingin dapat raih bahagia. Kalau hanya itu aku pun telah mengerti.
Kadang ingin pergi, kadang ingin sendiri. Sampai kini ku tak tahu pasti, aku hanya bisa bermimpi.
Layang-layang dapat terbang tinggi, namun sesekali goyah dan ia jatuh lagi. Apa mungkin kutemui kunci di hati yang kan ungkapkan segalanya suatu saat nanti.
Kadang-kadang ingin pergi, kadang ingin sendiri. Sampai kini ku tak tahu pasti, aku hanya bisa bermimpi.
Bermimpi nanti,
aku hanya bisa bernyanyi
dalam hati.
Aku tak tahu apa yang ku cari
di muka bumi.
Kadang aku bermimpi, ingin aku milih.
ku sakit hati dan mulai ku merasa cukup tahu sekarang diri harus aku dipegang lagi bersama lagi sama lagi bersama cukup tahu dalam diri tak usah aku gantang lagi ku tak mau lagi tak mau lagi sayang. Sakit hati dan mulai ku merasa cukup lagi tak usah aku jadimu lagi ku tak mau lagi tak mau lagi bersama kasih cukup lagi tak usah aku jadimu lagi ku tak mau lagi tak mau lagi sayang.
Voice of Indonesia.
Yeah. makin indah.
Dunia
membuka mata hati. Getar-getar cinta
semakin dalam ku rasa. Bagi sebuah simfoni.
Nada-nada
of Indonesia.
For listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at @voi_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.
Thank you.
Jakarta から、これは Voice of Indonesia の日本語プログラムです。このプログラムはインドネシアのニュース、情報、音楽をお送りします。引き続き周波数 3325kHz やウェブサイト www.coinews.id から Voice of Indonesia の放送をお聞きください。インドネシアより世界をお届けしている Voice of Indonesia です。Selamat malam, konbanwa, Rizna minasan. Kyo, watashi, Iisan ga, Nihongo hosou wo okurimasu. Kyo no bangumi wa, niusu kara hajimari, tsuzuite, samazama na Indonesia no jouhou, soshite, ongaku wo okurimasu. Sore de wa minasan, mazu wa, niusu wo okiki kudasai. Hiki tsuzuki, shuhasu 3325kHz, ya, 4755kHz, ya,ウェブサイト www.foinews.id から Voice of Indonesia の放送をお聞きください。
リスナーの皆さん、ニュースです。今日の見出しは、ラボー大統領はルサンタラ州と開発第2期の予算を承認。インドネシアはガザ住民の移住計画を拒否。最初のニュースです。インドネシア共和国のプラボー・スビアント大統領は2015年から2019年までの期間におけるインドネシアのヌサンタラ州都の開発継続のための48兆8000億ルピアの予算を承認しました。彼は1月21日火曜日、ジャカルタの大統領官邸で行われた州都に関する限定会議に出席した後、インドネシアのサンタラ州都と局長バスキハリモヨの氏が語ったものです。大統領はインドネシアのサンタラ州都当局に、オフィスと住居の両方における司法、および立法エコシステムインフラの開発を完了する任務を割り当てるよう要請しました。
Dalam menyelesaikan program dari 25 sampai 27